Now, I don't know if our next subject is black or white, or maybe it's got shades of grey. And with that, I think you can guess that I've got Belinda Strange from Debenhams Otterway sitting next to me. Welcome, Belinda.
Hello, Ian.
I think it was November you were last here.
It was, yes. Thanks for having me back.
Excellent to see you again. The time flies so quickly, though, doesn't it? Now, I know that the topic is called Christmas Contact Arrangements for Children, but that's a bit mystifying. You'll have to explain more what that's about.
No problem. Today I'm going to talk about what happens when, obviously, families break down, mm-hmm. and particularly emotions are heightened over Christmas because everybody wants to enjoy themselves.
What a time of year to break down as well, yes.
Exactly. Yes. So what I'm going to do today is talk you through just the first few key principles, right, of how we look at arrangements and what we can do if there are problems.
Okay, I'm all ears. The mic is all yours.
Well, the starting point in making these kinds of arrangements is determining who has parental responsibility. Now, parental responsibility is quite a broad concept. That will set out what rights and responsibilities parents have in respect of their children.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the key ones are obviously to provide a home for the child,
yes,
and to maintain a child as well.
Is that always decided by the court, first of all, the parental responsibility?
Well, that depends on the circumstances surrounding the birth of a child. Mm-hmm. For example, a mother will automatically have parental responsibility.
Right.
A father, if he is named on the birth certificate, will, if there's an agreement in place between him and an unmarried mother, maybe. Mm-hmm. Or if there isn't, a father can always apply to court for what's called a parental responsibility,
right,
order to give him those rights.
Yes.
So he can then make decisions jointly with mother in respect of healthcare, education, even what names the children, mm-hmm. should be known by. And those are the types of issues which encompass parental responsibility. So it's quite a broad concept.
Right.
If, for example, there's a step-parent involved as well, parental responsibility can also be extended so a step-parent can make decisions,
yes,
say, for,
yes,
example, in the event of an emergency and medical treatment. Because without having those orders in place or an agreement, believe it or not, somebody who would have the day-to-day care of a child can't make fundamental decisions.
My goodness.
So
yeah,
it is quite an important concept that we establish.
Yeah, that could lead to big problems.
Well, it can do, which,
yeah,
is why it's important to,
yes,
establish there is parental responsibility.
Yes, indeed.
And
yeah,
the people involved in a child's day-to-day life have those rights to, mm-hmm. make such important decisions. Now, once we've established who's got parental responsibility, and normally it will be a mother and father in a traditional relationship, mm-hmm. once they start to encounter problems, possibly, arrangements can then need to be made as to how the child's divided between maybe two separate households in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So what we think about doing is not talking in terms of contact arrangements or custody arrangements, which is an affiliation we've adopted,
yes,
from our friends across the pond. We talk instead about child arrangements orders, and this was a fundamental change in the way we approach things, which came into effect a couple of years ago.
Right.
The child arrangements order basically looks at how a child's time is divided between parents. So if the parents can't agree arrangements themselves,
mm-hmm.
perhaps they'd want to come in, get some advice, or maybe speak to another organisation to help them decide what's feasible.
Yes.
Now, the courts would always prefer not to get involved in these types of arrangements, and it's not unreasonable to invite parents to resolve matters between themselves, maybe with the help of mediation or another external agency.
Mm-hmm.
But, for example, when parents can't agree arrangements, then obviously the only option is to fall back to the courts, ask the courts to assist,
mm-hmm.
and maybe have a judge make a decision for you. So in terms of Christmas arrangements, what tends to happen is people can't decide how to divide up the holidays between themselves,
yes,
particularly if there's school-aged children who have slightly longer breaks. So what we think about doing is looking at it from a child's perspective, because the first thing the courts will consider is the child's welfare.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about deciding who has control or who should have the majority of time. It's what's in the child's best interest. Their welfare will always be paramount.
Right.
So when looking at the child's welfare, unless there is a risk of harm, possibly,
mm-hmm.
then we take a view looking at all the factors that are prescribed by the courts. Now, those are whether a child is old enough and we can ascertain a child's wishes and feelings.
Oh, of course, yes.
Bearing,
yes,
in mind their age.
And is there a set limit for that? Or what?
There's no set limit, but sometimes the court will appoint what's called a CAFCAS officer, a court and family support service worker, to,
right,
help the family. The CAFCAS officer will possibly meet with the child, meet with either parents, and watch the interaction,
yes,
with the parent and the child. And they will help, because they're specially trained court social workers, they will explore very appropriately with a child and get to establish their wishes and feelings. They do bear in mind, obviously, that younger children may not know what's in their best interest.
Of course, yes.
Whereas perhaps an older child might be better able to express themselves and have a more determinate view of the arrangements they would want for themselves. So the starting point is looking at the child's wishes. Then we also look at the physical, emotional and educational needs of any child and whether those need to be taken into account. We look at the effect of any change in the arrangements on a child, as well as things like characteristics, including the age of a child, sex of a child, background of a child, and anything else that is relevant.
What you mean, like mummy's boy and daddy's girl?
Well, not necessarily in those key terms, but again, it does come under a child's ascertainable wishes and feelings, so their views are taken into account. Yes. We'd also look, as I think I mentioned earlier, the risk of harm any child might suffer in those rare cases where those sorts of criteria do come into play. And we look at how capable each parent is of meeting each child's individual needs.
What about if there are multiple children, you know, brothers and sisters? You try and keep them together, or maybe they may they be separated? Or
again, it all depends on the arrangements the family are willing to agree to. Ideally, you wouldn't be separating siblings, but it may well be that arrangements need to be put in place which are practical and can work on the ground for everybody. If there's a particularly mature child who has a strong reason not to want to travel or not to want to spend time with one parent or the other, then perhaps in those kind of circumstances that arrangement may well be possible.
Okay. All right, well, we'll take a minute break. That's a bit to take in, and well, we'll have a quick message and then a little music, and back ago, back we'll get on the subject again. So here we are with whoever. Probably the Beatles. And the diamond with me is Belinda from Debenhams Otterway. Hopefully you'll have heard the introduction to her topic. If not, you go and listen again and if you missed a bit, because it is quite important stuff, this. And we're talking about what happens with the children at Christmas time if a relationship has broken down. So, Belinda, where were we up to?
Well, we were just talking about some of the factors that a court might look at in deciding whether or not to make any orders, and if so, what orders it should be making. Now, the courts do have a wide range of powers available to them and can put into implementation any sort of arrangement that might be considered appropriate. However, they'd always prefer not to get involved unless there's a positive need and a clear benefit to any child. So where, for example, there are residual hostilities from the breakdown of a relationship, and it's those hostilities which are impacting on the arrangements for children, it's up to the parents really to try and overcome those difficulties and work towards co-parenting together in the children's best interest. So we do hope that people can strive towards that, particularly making arrangements for Christmas. Now, it's important as well that we consider how to avoid any potential problems, as well as what to do if there are any. So the key things to bear in mind are always put arrangements, or at least propose arrangements, and try and agree them well in advance. If there are going to be considerable distances involved in travelling, maybe agree to share the travel so the burden isn't on one parent the other. And we do find that some parents agree handover arrangements on service stations, on motorways. It's not uncommon to share the driving, so nobody has too much of a burden. Other arrangements people like to put in place are taking turns each year. So maybe to avoid any disruption to the whole family over the Christmas few days itself. Alternate. So maybe a child or children might spend Christmas Eve, Christmas Day and Boxing Day with one parent. And then spend the next few days after Christmas with the other. And alternating each year, so each parent gets to spend the important days the exciting Christmas Eve, particularly.
I would think that is pretty difficult to get an agreement on, because if a child is 10, you know, by the time they're 11, you see them say at 10, and then you don't, I mean, you miss a year, you know, that's quite a lot of their life. You're going to see quite a bit of change. But then again, though, I suppose there are other days where you will see them. So
exactly. I mean, children do mature at a variable rate. And you will obviously see massive differences, but hopefully parents will be spending time with the children, not just at Christmas, but throughout the year as well.
From a really negative point of view, what is the outcome if an agreement is made and a court says, OK, you will do such and such, and the parent defaults? Is it a criminal offence or what?
Well, nowadays there are promises that people make to the court, which are embodied on the bottom of any court order. So mm-hmm. if you do have an order, there are enforcement powers which can be relied on. Mm-hmm. However, over Christmas, it's going to be quite tricky
yes.
to get in touch and put arrangements in place, although the courts do have an emergency number that can be contacted any time of the year.
So that's to try and rectify the ongoing situation. Yeah. But so what about then, you then go back to court and say, look, I didn't get to see the child because... And what is the offence then?
Well, it can result in what's called contempt of court, mm-hmm. where you breach a court order.
Right.
That's punishable by a fine or imprisonment.
Oh, okay.
But because the courts are very child orientated, and it's obviously not going to be in a parent's best interest to be punished in those terms,
no.
they would strive to avoid that. So the courts would look at putting other arrangements in place mm-hmm. which would ensure there was a greater degree of cooperation between the parents. Maybe, for example, sending the parents on a educational type course or a therapeutic workshop
yes.
to appreciate the implications of their behaviour and the impact it has on the children.
Yes, okay. Just a quick one, something slightly off the topic. Very much in the news at the moment have been about the number of children taken away from a mother.
Right.
Do they have any sort of come back and say, well, it's Christmas, can I not just see the child?
Well, that's a matter of public law, and you normally find that where adoption orders are made or care proceedings are brought, there may well, depending on the circumstances of each case, obviously, be arrangements for there to be some sort of contact, whether it's direct contact, i.e. face-to-face contact,
yes. or
indirect contact. So a parent could at least maybe send a card or spend some time
yes.
maybe under
yes.
supervision with a child at an appropriate centre. But that
yes.
largely depends on the types of orders that are made
see,
at the child's
yes.
time of removal.
That's a pretty tricky situation all in all anyway, isn't it?
And indeed.
You've got to that stage. Right.
So coming on to thinking about what are practical arrangements parents might like to put into place for sorting out the Christmas breaks, if parents aren't going to want to alternate, we can always think about dividing a children's time, maybe on Christmas Day, so they'd wake up at home,
yes.
open presents,
yes.
and then go and spend lunch with the other side of the family.
Yes.
Or maybe even alternating Christmas Day and Boxing Day, or perhaps spending New Year's Eve and having all the party time instead of Christmas time as
yes,
well.
Yes.
So there's all sorts of practical things that need to be considered.
Yeah. I think perhaps the younger the child, the more likely it is they want two Christmas days as opposed to a... I mean,
well,
what's
always
New
a possibility.
Year's, New Year's Eve to a youngster is not very much anyway, is it, compared with Christmas?
Depends on the age of the child.
Exactly, yes, yes. Okay. How are you getting involved in this then, as the solicitor at Debenhams? I mean, are people coming to you worried that something's not going to happen, or...
Normally we tend to see parents who have thought things ahead in mm-hmm. advance and
yes.
have strived to agree arrangements. Sometimes that's not always possible, and we end up making applications to court to decide not just what happens with Christmas but also the longer term arrangements.
Okay.
Once the children go back to school, how things are going to be structured during term time and half terms and the long summer holidays. So you don't deal with these issues just in isolation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's a bit short-sighted. You take a broader view
yes.
and you think about the next stage
okay.
and the long-term arrangements that need to be agreed.
Okay. Okay, well, that's fantastic. Quick summary. You've covered quite a lot there.
Well, don't leave arrangements till the last minute.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you've got plans in place in plenty of time. Don't ask the children to choose where they want to spend Christmas, because that does put unfair pressure on
yes.
them.
Yes.
And importantly, when arrangements are agreed, stick to them.
Stick to them.
Be on time.
Yes.
And if you are running late, at least let the other parent know that you'll be along shortly to avoid any anxiety.
Mm-hmm. Try and be civil to each other. As
exactly.
Lovely. Thank you very much. I hope we're going to see you again in the new year, Melinda. That's lots more to talk about, I'm sure. But I know you're a very busy person. So anyway, I wish you and all the others from Devon and Ottaway, I wish you a happy Christmas. You've given us some great advice over the past few months. I was going to list the names, but I knew I would forget somebody, you know, Susan, Luke, Michael, Helen. And I've forgotten somebody even now, you know. But happy Christmas to them all.
And happy Christmas to everybody out there. Hope
Lovely.
It's a peaceful time for you all.
Excellent. Thank you very much.